Hey everybody, what's up, and welcome to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with fans of Dragon Tale and Tattle Tales. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin', let's get no capping. I am your captain.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
So I know that Phil rounded up Mithrigan 2 last time, but do you have any strong opinions about when a director, who I presumably also had a hand in writing the movie, makes a comment about their appearance being just above average?
Who was the director actor of Mithrigan?
The white lady from Get Out.
Oh, I don't know her. It does remind me of, like, in 30 Rock, when Tina Fey would make, like, ugly jokes about herself as she was slowly getting more attractive as the seasons went on. It was already ridiculous in season one, but, like, by the final season, it was like, we're really supposed to believe that you're some, like, 6 or 7.
And how would you rate Tina Fey? I know you're big on giving women numbers.
Oh, yeah. I would rate her a 10 on emotional intelligence. A 10 on...
Really? 10 on emotional intelligence for someone who makes a lot of weird race jokes.
I did read her autobiography, and there was... Her understanding of her dad and his relationship to race was very interesting. Did I mention this on pod, that in her book she has a couple paragraphs about how her black people love her dad? She was like, there were these two guys who were coming to rob my dad, and they were about to walk up to him, but when they got close, they saw that he was a cool guy, and they said, "You're looking good, Jack," and didn't rob him. And I was like, I think your dad
got any gold, Jack? Just misinterpreted that black people were going to rob him?
I think that was literally what happened, based on the story she recounted. And it was, I forget what, like, dated jazz language the two black guys used to describe her dad. But it was a very odd story.
The cold-ass honky.
Literally, it was something like that. The story she recounted in her autobiography was like, and then they called him the cool cat honky man and adapt him up and told him they would never be cool enough to rob him.
Honestly, the only way that makes sense to me is if the story was, my dad told me this story and I believed him, not, I saw this happen and I believe it to be true as I literally saw it.
What was the other one? She said that she cried when she realized her gay friends actually had gay sex when she was like 20. That was another, like, it was like a self-critique. It was like, I was just fetishizing gayness in my early 20s.
I thought they still liked the pussy.
I don't want to criticize somebody for being honest and having self-reflection on their own issues.
We're doing restorative justice with Tina Fey. I think that's a fair way to put it.
No, I would say definitely the dad race stuff was the only stuff where I was like, I can't imagine how you could get into adulthood and still believe that story or not question what your understanding of your dad and his relationship to black people was.
Yeah.
Except for my dad. He's really cool and was always anti-racist. That's just true.
Oh, yeah. He was a real G.
How do you feel about your dad and his relationship to anti-racism, Adrian?
Oh, do you mean to? Oh, I was hoping you were going to say black people, because that's an easier question to answer. I don't know if I know his philosophical underpinnings on anti-racism, but that is one of the things where, like, the split between my parents in their vocabulary and language was, my mom learned a lot of English from talking to rich white ladies and reading books, and my dad learned a lot of English from working with poor people in the South. So he did get a lot of, like, black isms in the way that he spoke.
Not this trip back home, but a couple trips ago, I was in an Uber to the airport, and my driver was an Afghan man. And I was just chatting to him, and he mentioned that he used to work in construction. And he said in construction, he worked with a lot of Latino people. It was one of those old man things where he was like, oh, they were the funniest people. You wouldn't believe the stuff they said. They would, no money, no honey. And he just cracked up to himself. He thought no money, no honey was the funniest thing ever. He was telling me about this joke Latino people tell, no money, no honey, and cracking up to himself telling me about that. I was like, this is delightful. I love this man.
It sounds pretty funny.
No money, no honey.
That's true.
he had a heavy Afghan accent and then kind of did a Hispanic accent it was also a beautiful moment from accents, if you want to try to recount how that would sound for an Afghan man.
This is what the woke left want to take from us.
I know. Have you ever heard that? Maybe he worked with a Mexican, so you as a Guatemalan have never heard the delightful.
That's more of a Mexican sentiment. Guatemalans usually say like, no strong character, being interesting and healthy and in your own right, an independent person who's worth being loved. No bitches in your life. That's usually what they say.
Oh, you understood it as a causal thing. I thought it was like a double complaint. Like, man, I don't have no money or no honey.
No, I thought but it was I like that you're saying no money, if you have no honeys.
Oh, interesting.
If you who was it that came on the pod? Was it Luke? Luke who came out and did the what was it? There's a couple big L bars about that. Like, if you ain't making money, you ain't got no honeys. If you ain't something nickels or something, I can't remember what it was. If you don't got
Oh, I was going to say Ice Cube's fly bitches don't care about a little gold, just the power that Adrian finish it, bleep hold.
That an Ice Cube hold.
That an Ice Cube hold. No money, no honey.
No money, no honey. Yeah.
Should we Google what that means? See if...
You just think that it's a stand-up character where it's a guy who's a real sad sack who talks about how he has neither money nor love in his life. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's how
that's
I
not funny.
It.
That's just sad.
Well, I mean, what's funny about it is that it rhymes.
That's true. I had an Indian coworker who always used to tell me, no rupees, no poopies.
That is kind of funny. A constipated poor man. Like, can't he have anything? He can't even have the joy of shitting.
If you don't eat, you can't poop. That's the thing. What's going on with you, brother? What's the updates for where we're at right now? I feel like we're kind of at a fresh start, even though it's the end of the year. Well, no, because you're away, so we're not both back home right now.
Mm.
We're still a little bit in that holiday shift.
You're back home.
Yes, it's good to be home.
How was visiting the Carolinas? It seems like you're finally over it a little bit. You're like you're done with Colombia.
Yeah, I'm done with Colombia. I'm not done with the people that I saw. I had a great time. It was perfect. It was exactly what I needed.
And I think you said I'm tired of Drake and Phil and Coleman. And I never want to see them again. I've kind of had my fill. And it was a pun about Phil's name.
Yeah. I was like, never mind. It was a great time. It was really fun. But I don't know how much money I want to spend going back to Colombia to go to Art Bar and Transmission in Wico a few times again. I think that and then the fact that my parents' house always stresses me out a little bit because it's just the most insane place to be. I'm happy to be home. I showed pictures to my friend Julia and Josh. I was texting both of them just some stuff. Like, I think the first thing I texted them when I got home and the next morning I was looking at the lawn and I was like, you know you're in a Latino household when there's as many broken down cars in the yard as people. That's the ratio that you want. And I think I was just sending them some other pictures. And one of the things was my dad in the oven working on it. And Julia was like, please don't let your parents blow up their house. And I was like, not up to me, buddy. My dad's going to do what he's going to do. He's doing what he has to for his woman. Because no money, no honey.
No money, no honey. That's what your dad always said.
That's what he always says.
Yeah. I remember every time I used to go to your house in high school, I'd always say, sell me that Chevy that's been sitting in your yard.
Wait, what song is that?
That's Carlos Miller on the new Big Crit. Okay. Sell me that Chevy that's been sitting in your yard. I'm a fix that bitch up. I can't remember.
Paul, I'm happy to report there is a Chevy. There's one Chevy and one Ford. My friend Julia said something about how, well, it's also got to have a classic car that your dad swears he's going to fix up. And I was like, my dad does not like American cars. So that's not us. Which I don't know if you're a car dealer.
We still got shot callers, but I know we got ballers. Hey, sell me that Chevy that's been sitting in your yard. I'm gonna have that bitch clean. I'm gonna make that bitch hard. Might sit it on some sixes and pull up with some bitches. And I just like pull up with some bitches.
That's pretty good. That's a good hook.
No, are you good for a media roundup?
Yeah, I got a couple quick things. Let's see. Actually, I think this is from before I left. I just never got a chance to talk about them. I think we've more or less rounded up the trip. I don't think I need to talk about anything more over there. Reini, the new Mike Kaplan special. Very good. I think he's basically held to the same standard that he's had the entire time, which I've always really liked him. I heard a critique from him, from someone, friend of the pod, that he's gotten a little bit kind of clapter preachy in his comedy, but I thought it was just straight funny jokes the whole time, so I liked it. And then right before I left, I also went to the Dreamland to watch Hundreds of Beavers, which is free on Tubi and an absolute blast. I specifically made a point of trying to watch it with my parents, but they go to bed at like 8 p.m. now, so we never got a chance to watch a movie at the end of the night. Instead, we actually went out to the theaters one night to watch The Housemaid, which it's a fun, trashy way. I don't know. I don't know if men are allowed to call stories about women trashy. I think I'm not allowed to do that, but whatever other word I'm allowed to say. It's based on a novel, but yeah, it's like a fun little twisty, turny, turvy psychological thriller that was pretty fun. The only thing I didn't like about it is that they did do the thing where, I guess it's like that joke from Family Guy where Peter wants to say the action lines or whatever, where he's like, no, it's just been revoked, and then he tries out some other action lines. They do have like a couple moments where like something dramatic happens, and then the character says like a quip, and it's like, that doesn't really fit tonally with what's been going on in this movie, but okay, whatever. Are you trying to sell a shirt? Like, what are we doing? Like, why is that what we're doing here?
Was there a scene where one of the characters was like, who could be responsible for this? And the other one went, I think it's the housemaid.
No. Think like a piece of action happens to resolve a dramatic moment violently, and then they go.
Oh, no, I got what you were saying. I just thought maybe that sort of movie that would do one would do the other.
Oh, no. I don't know if they actually ever call her the housemaid. I think that's just what she is.
Who says housemaid? I think people just say maid. Or
I say housekeeper. That's what I always went with.
Housekeeper, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because my mom was always a housekeeper, but not a homeowner.
Okay, for me, I would say this is he's a long stay. I'm sure I've recommended him on the podcast before, but John Boyes on Secret Base just released a new, I think it's going to be a four-part series, but so far three of the parts are out on the transatlantic telegraph, the first one built in the 19th century, and it's about the personalities of all the people responsible for designing and building it, and just kind of a history of how it went up through the lens of Tim the Toolman Taylor and Home Improvement and the character dynamics from that show.
So wait, this is fictional?
No, it's a true story, but it's just seen through the lens of Home Improvement.
Interesting.
Characters. The thesis is that throughout the laying of the first transatlantic telegraph, there was multiple pairs of Tim Allens and Al Borland types. Have you ever watched the show?
No, all I know is,
The Al character is always like, he's a competent, he's like the straight man. He's like the competent
That's
guy.
That's Richard Karn.
Yes, it is Richard Karn. And then Tim Allen, yeah, he's the straight guy. He's like, he's competent. He does everything correctly. And then Tim Allen comes in and fucks everything up. And so, I guess, yeah, he uses that paradigm to explain the transatlantic telegraph. It's great. It's a really fun story.
Cool. All right. You want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Paul. Tattletales. Did you have to look up the correct spelling of tattletale?
No, but I also don't know the correct spelling. I just didn't think to even look it up.
Oh, I used it as one of my keywords when looking for a column.
All right, let me try. T-A-T-T-L-E-T-A-I-L? Is it that type of tale?
You think it's a tale? Okay, interesting. All right.
Oh, a tale like a story. T-A-L-E. Okay.
Well, that's what I thought, but it is the other one. It is T-A-I-L.
You motherfucker.
Can you imagine if I was a judge at a spelling bee? Yeah, so tattle is in telling somebody something, and then tale is in giving away the ending or the last bit of a story or something, is apparently the etymology of that word. But yeah, definitely more of like a child thing. I haven't really thought about people being tattletales in a long time, but...
Yeah, they're just called rats when you're an adult.
That's true, snitches and rats.
Mm-hmm.
In school, siblings, who tattletailed on you? Oh, are we going to recap the biggest betrayal ever, which was the set of twins in our high school where one of them ratted out the other to their parents that he was smoking weed?
Yeah, that is crazy work.
That's crazy work.
It feels like a fable in its it's Cain and Abel. There's something about it that's just basically, like, how could you betray me like that?
Yeah,
of all people.
Does that line up correctly, that the cool gay one was the one who was smoking weed and the lame straight one was the one who tattled?
Yeah. I actually didn't know that one of them, he wasn't out in high school. All right. Yeah, you're right. I haven't thought about tattling in a long time. I guess with my nieces and nephews, sometimes it does kind of come up where it's like, you'll see one of them gently graze the other one, and then you'll see them run up to me or their parents and be like, they hit me, and it's like, oh my gosh. First off, no, they didn't. Second off, even if they did, don't tell me about it.
They're coming up to you and they're like, oh, my neck. Oh, after they hit me, I think I have this problem in my neck. We should call the insurance company.
I don't remember what George Sink's number is because I'm just a baby, but if you do,
I need an injury lawyer. That's funny. I feel like the other thing that, I mean, I guess that one, actually, no, I think we're right, right? These things have parallels in adulthood, but it does feel like there's a certain time and place to, like, being mad about people cutting in line is still something you get mad about as an adult. I just don't think we call it that.
Oh, that's so funny. Somebody 100% cut in line in front of me when I was waiting to get into the Capital One restaurant at the
airport. You were going to say the Capitol at January 6th.
Yeah. There's a Capital One. It's like you have to sign up because I guess there's like limited space in the restaurant at the DCA airport. So, and then there was a line to get in, and a woman cut in front of me. I was actually just like a little bit shook. I don't think that's happened to me in like, I don't know if in adulthood anybody's ever so blatantly cut in front of me, like just look straight up pretended emotional. They didn't see me and stepped in front of me.
Wow.
It was kind of crazy work. And then I think she was in a rush because then her boyfriend came by and got in line behind people, even behind me. And then she like forced him to come up and stand with her. She was like, get it over here. She did that thing. And it seemed like he clearly thought it was awkward to cut people. But he came by later. So he didn't even see her like explicitly cut people. He just was like, oh,
otherwise
she was
he would
probably
have broken
here
up with her then and there.
Yeah. It seemed like it. Clearly he seemed a like a guy. Nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think she probably justified it because I noticed they came in, ordered drinks, took them to go. So I think she was like, oh, we probably have to. I think in her mind, she was like, we have to catch our flights in like 10 minutes. We don't have time to wait in this line. I'm just going to do this quick.
And he's with a wicked woman.
Oh, straight wicked.
Straight wicked. That was one of the most like morally ambiguous situations I've been in, where I was in the airport in Buenos Aires in Argentina. There was an Asian family that was in that situation where they were going to miss their flight unless they started cutting in front of people. And so that's what the TSA or security person advised them to do.
Is this like when you said that he asked you immediately, the guy was like, you got to cut way further.
No. That was a white boy. This was a whole family that needed to do it, but they clearly couldn't speak English or Spanish very well. So they just started pushing through people, and the same security agent starts admonishing them for not doing it politely. And I was like, brother, they're in a hurry, and I don't think they can communicate this very well. I think everyone heard what was going on. Like, I think it's okay, but it's crazy work to be like, you guys gotta just start, like, you know, pushing your way through and then be mad at them for not communicating well enough.
Yeah, I don't get in that situation. The only thing stopping them from getting to the front of the line is usually like one of those ribbons, right? Why not just open it and let them through like a different area? Like, why make them ask everybody instead of just chaperoning them to where they need to be?
Yeah, that would have, I don't know. I think sometimes the security agents don't want to get that involved in it or whatever. But yeah, I mean, and also it was very stressful. Like, I think that airport was by far the most busy airport I've been to where like security was like hours long. Like, it took hours to get through security in that airport. So yeah. But anyways, that's about cutting lines. We're talking about tattletales. We're talking about snitches and rats.
Yeah. I didn't tattle in my situation. There is a part of me that for a second was like, should I just tap her on the shoulder and be like, oh, you stood in front of me just to see if she would explicitly say I wanted to do it, or if she would go, I'm sorry, and move behind me. And I was like, no, I don't care.
You gotta say, look me in the eyes when you fuck me, lady.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was like. I was like, I'm obviously not gonna actually argue with her, but I wonder if she would apologize, you know, like she would acknowledge it, or if she would just be like, I wanted to.
I don't know. I think I've been having this thing lately where it just feels like don't know, a lot of people complain about people being rude post-pandemic. Maybe it's just the community I'm in. I feel like I have way more interactions with people who are telling me to get in front of them than people who are trying to, like, screw people over. I get into a lot more of interactions of people looking, like, getting ready to order a coffee, seeing me behind them and being like, oh, do you want to go first? And it's like, why? You're already starting. You can just do your order and I can do mine and we can do this the way that the line works.
No, I totally understand that impulse. I'm definitely like, I don't want to feel like I'm being rushed. If anything, you're doing them a favor so then they feel like they have the time. To pick what they really want to pick. Because
they're doing like a mocha, foca, cappuccino, unicorn, latte, deluxe, supreme.
Or they just haven't looked at the menu or thought about it and they want to make the right choice.
No, I'm pretty big on, that's the other thing that I get a lot, is I do a lot of running into the grocery store to get one or two things. And the people who are like, oh, I have a big cart, you can go in front of me if you want. And you do the whole song and dance of like, oh, are you sure? Blah, blah, blah. I'm not in a hurry. Yada, yada, yada. I think we're still talking about lines. Tattletales. Yeah. Tattling. When have I tattled? My sister didn't do anything and my brother didn't do anything. And I mean that literally. I mean, they did nothing. They never left the house. They had very few friends. They weren't romantically involved with anybody. So there was nothing for me to tattle on them about.
One time my siblings caught me smoking weed in high school. Ooh. And they threatened to tattle on me, but they didn't. So
that's cool. They both were there?
No, but one told the other.
Okay. And they, like, found the paraphernalia, or they, like, saw you mid-hit?
I think they just smelled it.
That's what the story I was going to tell was, it was really embarrassing, but I was at my friend Esteban's place when we were working together at Trader Joe's. It was when he lived in a duplex, and we were smoking weed indoors, which you're not supposed to do. It was one of his wife's rules that we weren't allowed to do that. But we were like, hey, we're chilling. It's a Saturday. Let's hang and watch a movie and smoke. And then he gets a text later on during the day that says, hey, the neighbors said they can smell pot inside. What's going on? And we had to be like, oh, sorry, mommy. Wait, sorry for being too cool.
The neighbors texted her?
Yeah.
That's so weird. Did they know that it was a rule and they texted her to, or did they text her to, like, angrily, or did they text her to tattle on him?
I think it was a rule that had been previously established that because if they smoked weed indoors, they could smell it, that they didn't want that to happen. And so she got a text from them saying, hey, we can smell weed indoors.
So it wasn't really her rule as much as just being a polite, normal neighbor.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and that sounds like
Esteban.
But I was
trying to get high, baby.
That makes the story go from Esteban has like a weird relationship with his wife to Esteban's just a mean, rude person.
You know, it was a little bit of both. I think she was kind of a weird, mean person too. Or not mean. I think she was a weird, strict person in some sense.
Gotcha. Well, sounds like he needed a parent figure in his life because he couldn't resist smoking weed indoors.
He couldn't resist. It wasn't just me and him wanting to chill on the couch with a little bit of sticky icky. I like all of our tattletale stories so far have been about weed. What else?
What else?
I said sneaking out, but I didn't really do. Yeah. I didn't do any sneaking.
I didn't have.
Which is funny because it would have been really easy. Well, no, it wouldn't have been easy to sneak out because I think starting a car makes too much noise in the middle of nowhere. But actually getting out of the house from like my window or something would have been easy.
Also, I never had a curfew, so it never was like something I needed to do.
I do remember one time when I went to San Jose, the GOAT of Lexington. It was with a bunch of people in high school, and one of the guys who I was friends with, Zach Rankin, who, let's be very clear, had a job and was from a rich family and had money, thought it would be funny to skip out on his tab. And so he left, and like literally we were all hanging out in the parking lot, and I saw the server come out being like, whose ticket is this? Someone didn't pay. It comes out of my paycheck if you guys don't pay it. And I felt so sad, and I was like, I even know who it is. And I was like, but that's the code, bro. Can't snitch. Mm-hmm. I think he's a shitty person for doing it, but I couldn't snitch. I feel like that was something that I saw at like Tokyo Grill where, I mean, these are all stories of times when I didn't tattle because I'm a real G. But, you know, like the kind of thing where like, you're serving people food and like you're at a table and you see like an old man who's like adding salt to his food and his wife's like, you can't be doing that. Your heart's not good. And then she looks away for a second and he adds salt and he looks at you and he goes, shh, don't tell her.
I do kind of know that energy. Yeah.
And I'm always like, your secret's safe with me, sir.
Oh, I guess confession is kind of like tattling on yourself.
That's true. You played yourself.
I only did confession once. It was very awkward because what has a middle schooler really done wrong from the
besides masturbate?
Yeah, the 10 sins. It's I think I said that the one I think everybody has to go to at that age is like, I didn't respect my parents. Like, what? Oh, I left it over the neighbor.
That sounds, that one sounds so southern. Didn't respect my parents.
Yeah.
Great Simpsons joke. I've masturbated about 3,000 times and have no intention to stop.
All right. I think we just don't have a lot of tattling stories. Should we get into the articles?
All right. You want me to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Here is my column. I think it hits the theme pretty squarely, being about little kitties. It's from Slate. It is, ugh, my daughter is the Zoom classroom tattletale by Dan Kwa. And this is Karen Feeding from October 26, 2020. Dear Karen Feeding, before quarantine, my 8-year-old daughter had no friends in her class, but was friends with a bunch of kids in her grade, so I didn't think much of it. When I asked her, she just said that all the kids in her class were annoying, but now that she and my 12-year-old son are at home, I think she wasn't making friends for a reason. She's a huge tattletale. I was sitting in on her Zoom calls the first week of school, and after a breakout room, she would message the teacher and tell her everything the other kids did that was quote-unquote mean, such as getting a role she wanted, interrupting her, or correcting her. When she and her brother play a board game, she gets upset and goes to me or my husband whenever he's supposedly cheating by bumping her back to start or making her give up a good card. She wasn't like this at home before quarantine, but I think she was like this at school. If it's frustrating for us now, it must have been harder on her teacher, but no amount of talks on when or when not to tell an adult about a problem are working. How do I explain to her that the world is not against her? From Tiny Tattler. I guess this is the talk you need to have with your little cousins ratting out on each other.
Yeah, they're much younger, though. This 8 years old is kind of getting to the point where that, I mean, it also seems so regimented. Like, she's creating a bullet-pointed list of all, like one breakout room has, like, multiple things she needs to update teacher on.
She's a real Randall from Recess.
And it sounds like her issues are not actually even things they did wrong, but just things that didn't go her way. She just wants to update an adult that not everything went exactly how she wanted.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound like anyone did anything wrong. I will say, the thing about board games does resonate with me. That was something where it was a real big move in my neighbor's house to call whatever you were doing. Even if it wasn't, you know, spirit of the law versus letter of the law, they really like saying if a strategy you're using was cheap, was the word they would always say.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that this made me think of was, I think, something we've talked about a long time ago, but that was another thing where, again, I was put in the position of authority. I didn't take it. I was the kind of kid where teachers, when they had a sub, would be like, Adrian's the person who's written on the note card for the sub, to be like, talk to that person if you need like a reasonable point of view about something or whatever.
Mm.
Is that, what is it for? It was like, if you need to know if they're lying about what they're saying or something, right? Like, oh, we don't ever do that way or whatever, I guess. Right? Is that what it's for? He's the honest one.
He's the honest one. How do you know good that? Good
kid. Mad City. Oh, my fifth grade teacher told me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, my fifth grade teacher told me too. She was like, Paul, you're the best kid in this class for sure. Smartest. Yeah. Most athletic.
Most handsome. And you're like, hey, whoa.
I was like, hey, whoa.
Little St. James.
I actually invented pause that very moment. I was like, yo, pause me.
I was like, hey.
Yeah, no, that does resonate. The idea of like, when something isn't cheating, but somebody calls it cheating, that is such a childhood thing. Mm-hmm. Like, just beating a certain type of kid is liable to get you called a cheat.
Yeah. But there's also, like, Settlers of Catan, where you're like, hey, you're collecting all the wood. That's cheap.
Yeah. It sounds like this kid, like, she's rolling a 5 and hitting a snake and having to go back down. And she's like, that's cheating. You fucked me.
You fucked me.
In war? What the fuck? Another ace? Come on. You're cheating.
I'm ruined. It is funny that, like, the perspective of this is a mom being like, I've noticed that my child sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably a pretty common, like, parent feeling. It's also, you know, kids are cringy and lame, right? Like, you're a child. the idea of like what's embarrassing or mean-spirited isn't completely developed yet. I'm sure a lot of parents look at their kids and they're like, oh my gosh, I wish they would act different. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, shit, what was I going to say? Yeah, that was, I mean, I guess part of it was probably negligence, but it always makes me wonder, like, what would it be like to be the parent of a bully where you're just like, damn, that's crazy, my kid does that.
Yeah, my brother was recently just telling me that his son, when he lets him win at chess, it's so braggadocious that he'll have to beat him on the next round because it annoys him.
That's funny.
It was just like, yeah, it's like you let him win, and then he's like, I'm better than you. I'm the best who's ever been at this game.
Prove me wrong. And I'm like, have you played him?
Yeah. That's probably
Does he usually do a French Open, or what does he usually do?
Yeah.
Or is he more of like a neo-traditionalist?
A little bit of A, a little bit of B.
Okay. A little column A, a little column B.
So yeah, kids really don't know how they're coming off. And this child seems similarly does not know that she's coming off very obnoxious. It's how has this ever been rewarded? How do you even develop this?
Yeah, that's
habit?
What I was gonna say. Yeah, it's like it only works if it works. Like, what are their teachers doing that's rewarding this?
Maybe she's just very meticulous. I mean, maybe the answer is encourage her to go into HR. I don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She's really got her career path set out for her.
It is crazy work for a single breakout room to mean multiple messages to the teacher. That's, if it was like, oh, once or twice a day, I'd be like, oh, you have a tattletale, you got to work on it. This sounds like even beyond that. This is intense.
Sounds like good record keeping.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like she should work for the Chinese government.
That's funny.
Social credit scores. Yeah, I think the thing that they were saying at the end is what I would have given as advice, but it sounds like it's not working, but some kind of delineation between what's worth telling an adult and what isn't, because at no point should you ever train your kid on don't talk to adults about your problems or whatever.
That's
going to lead to bad shit. You just got to tell them how to figure out like what's worth it and what isn't, yeah.
But that didn't work.
Gotta tell them to stop their belly aching.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's like, how much advice can you give that's not just do more of that, telling her to not tattle. Sounds like maybe the core issue isn't that she's a tattletale, but just really sore about any situation not going her way, too.
Yeah,
it's
sounds
a mix
more
of
like
both.
It.
So it's also maybe you both need to like up her ability to take losses or to like let other people get attention. Which I don't know how you do that.
You go to Michael's and you get one of those like big letters that you put on your front door that's your last name. You get an L and you told her to hold it. Get used to that. That's your life, kid. You got my blood in you. You're going to be holding a lot of L's through life.
Yeah, this also seems like an older sibling problem. It's crazy because it's like a younger sibling should be used to losing.
Yeah. The other thing to me, I mean, it seems like maybe there is some kind of actual flowchart, although kids aren't known for being totally logical, of like, like what? Like, is it like, who is anyone being physically harmed in this situation? Is anyone being emotionally harmed in this situation? What is the negative consequence?
Yeah.
If it's to you, how much does this actually matter to you? And then figuring out whether or not. But I don't know. That seems like a lot for a kid to process. I think a frontal lobotomy.
Mm.
All right. Well, do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Dear Tiny, the impulse to tell tales is as old as time itself. Here you are rushing to report your child's behavior to the nearest authority. An internet advice column. I agree that this certainly has something to do with your daughter's lack of classroom friends. No one wants to hang out with someone who is constantly narking on them. Oh yeah, that is what I was saying earlier, is you should show her the TV show Recess and point out that she's being a Randall-ass motherfucker. Do you want to be a Vince? You want to be a PJ? Or do you want to be a Randall? You know what I mean? Teachers are exceptionally good at dealing with tattletales, and I would not worry about this behavior in Zoom class. In fact, Zoom class is the ideal forum for tattletaling, because it allows the teacher to ignore the tattletale without all her classmates knowing what a pain in the ass she's been in the DMs. At home, you can discourage her by treating her tattletaling with utter disinterest and disdain. Seriously, just say, I'm not interested in that, when she comes to you to complain that her brother sent her back home, to home on the board, because she drew a sorry card. And that's not fair. Don't have any more long talks with her about when or when not to tell an adult. Just act as bored as someone who's been forced to endure a coworker's description of the plot of the superior Star Wars prequels. She'll get it. All right, I like that subtle dig at the end.
That is very funny. I wonder who Dan Coys ran into recently that wanted to explain the Star Wars plot to them.
Damn, that's petty. That's petty.
I mean, yeah, this doesn't seem very helpful to me. It seems like probably more of the same of what they've been trying.
No, I think the explicitly saying that you're not interested or that you're bored by what she has to say does sound kind of interesting.
Mm.
I think that would be a pretty strong enforcement mechanism. I don't know. I think it's not terrible advice. I think it sounds pretty good to me.
And just ignore the school stuff?
Yeah, the teacher knows how to handle it. Who are the other kids? Gus and Gretchen? I don't know if you want to be a Gus or Gretchen. Do the cool ones like Spinelli, Vince, and
Gus
TJ
was the
PJ.
One with the military haircut?
Yeah, and the dad who was in the military, yeah.
PJ was the leader. He was the beanie, and he was like the cool one.
Yeah, well, no, Vince was the cool one. He was the rude dude with the
tube. Oh, wait,
tube,
no, he had the backwards hat. Beanie was...
TJ was the leader, yeah. Wait, the beanie? Beanie was Spinelli.
Spinelli, okay, the girl.
Spinelli was the rough and tumble tomboy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, do you want to get to my column? Okay, Adrian, I've brought in our least favorite advice columnist, Kwame Anthony Appiah, the ethicist. Up there with Heather Havrileski. So we already know going into this that he will probably take some position that I consider unethical. Now, sometimes, obviously, when they're easy, he agrees with us, but
yeah,
there's been more than a couple times where it seems like his role is just to tell people that everything is ethical. So let's see.
Yeah.
My best friend has been having an affair with a married man. Another close friend of mine considers the man's wife like a sister. My best friend confided in me more than a year ago. I was upset, but I stayed quiet, partly because it didn't feel like my place to say something, and partly because I hoped it would end. It hasn't, and now I resent carrying the secret. If I tell that other friend, I risk my relationship with my best friend and may just shift the burden onto the other friend, who would then have to decide whether to reveal it and hurt the betrayed wife. But if I stay silent, I remain complicit in hiding something that could affect the wife's choice about her marriage. Do I keep protecting the secret or speak up? Name withheld.
Damn, why didn't we think about this? High school relationships were filled of like people like knowing that someone cheated on their girlfriend or whatever and having to be like, oh, I can't tell anybody or whatever.
Oh, I think you knew cooler people than me.
Okay. Pretty basic question. It's been going on for a year.
Yeah.
It's a long time to cheat.
I don't know. At the heart of this question, maybe I will agree with the ethicist because obviously my guess as the ethicist will say, do
it's
what's good for
place.
You.
Yeah.
Because I know how Kwame thinks and he is, I'm pretty sure he thinks ethics is when you do what's most convenient for yourself.
I think so.
But in this case, I do feel like telling this third friend is a little bit like gossiping.
That's always been people's point, right? Is that like it's not your place to say it or like it's not like you're making it about you if you tell them. I don't know. People will sometimes kind of construe it in that kind of way.
Maybe if you were friends with the person getting cheated on too, then I could see your responsibility to tell them. But considering that you don't know the person being cheated on that well or well enough that you would want to tell them anyway, telling a third party just kind of feels like gossiping. I think you're a little too removed.
Wait. My best friend has been having an affair with a married man. So it's her best friend who's doing the cheating, right?
Yeah, but the person getting cheated on. Yeah, because you don't know the person who's getting cheated on. She's saying she wants to tell another friend who does know the person who's being cheated on.
Right, who's close with the...
And
she considers this man's wife like a sister. Yeah, putting the ball in their court when you know what they're probably going to do kind of seems like you might as well just take the... Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean.
If you were friends with the person getting cheated on, tell them immediately. I didn't have that in high school, like you said earlier, but I think...
You've told me about the finding people on dating apps or whatever.
Yeah, and I was never friends with the person getting cheated on, so I never felt the need to, like, screenshot it and mention it.
So your circle's filled with cheaters, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think of situations where... I mean, there's one situation that I'm going to have to keep very vague... Where it seemed like it was an open secret where, like, how does the guy not know? The entire town knows. Like, this is not a secret that I'm having to keep to myself. This is everyone that I know makes jokes about this. Like, that's a situation where you can very easily, like, you know, social loafing, like, take it off yourself to be like, well, I'm not close to this guy. I don't need to be the one to tell him.
Yeah, have you ever told on a cheater? Have you ever felt like you should? Like, did you ever like the person who was getting cheated on where you were like, oh, I should be
the solid?
Oh, you
mean like romantically where I was going to be the knight in shining armor?
Oh, no, I just meant like actually just liked them as a person where you were like, oh, this sucks for them. I want to be like, I want them to know this so that they're not embarrassed.
I was really close with, it was my friend Hillary, and I didn't really know Monica that well, but like, and also Bill kind of sucked. Like, he wasn't really that cool of a dude anyways, and so I was pretty chill with telling Hillary, but she found out anyways from kind of like a weird way of finding out, so like, I didn't have to be the one to like spill the beans on that one. So I was willing to, but it just never came down to like for me to have to tell them.
And that's why I would tell this person, I don't know. I mean, maybe reconsider your friend. Like, it seems like cheating really has upset you emotionally. So maybe reconsider your friendship with this person, I guess, if they're living a lifestyle that you find so upsetting. But, I mean, unless you particularly like her husband, I don't know. It's not your place to, like, show up at his doorstep.
I don't know if I want to say that we have to cut out the Monica Lewinsky joke if it didn't get any laughs.
But... oh, I didn't even realize you were joking.
Oh, yeah. Hillary, Bill, and Monica. Was the triangle that I was, the web that I was weaving. And they found out in a very interesting way. I remember my teacher telling me that in high school. He was like, yeah, he came on her dress.
What?
Yeah. Is that not true? Is that part of it?
I have no idea. Is that part of what scandalized people that he came on her dress?
No, that's how they were able to prove it true.
Oh, because they put it under a UV light?
She was like, yeah, I literally have his semen on my fucking dress from when I gave him that sloppy toppy.
Well, where was he supposed to come? I mean, the Resolute desk is so old, that wood would have disintegrated if it had Bill's cum on
it. Hey, his wood disintegrated. Come on now. All right, keep it back in. It's good. So you were being sincere about whether or not you like the person enough. Yeah, I mean, you can be far enough from a couple to just be like, that's their business. I don't really know.
Yeah, I do wonder why this affects her so strongly. Is it because she's like reconsidering who her friend is, or does she just feel really bad for the husband?
Yeah. There's also this thing where like there is like this very systemic analysis that I have of this that I don't think really works in any kind of like emotionally satisfying way. But sometimes it really is like, man, if this many people are cheating, maybe the system we have for how we do relationships is just not a good, useful system for everybody. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's why some people do open relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the system isn't good for them. I think, it's all about honesty. It's just, you have to opt into that system. You can't opt in for the other person or you're kind of a bad person.
Yeah, it's true.
There is something about, like, if somebody tells you they did something wrong, you kind of want them to be like, oh, yeah, I fucked up, and I'm going to try to be a better person. It is a little wild for them to confide in you. I'm doing something wrong, and I'm continuing to be a bad person.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know, and I'm also letting you know that I'm not stopping. It's like, okay, well, at this point, you're just telling me that you are okay with hurting other people.
But what if they weren't the cheater? They were the ones who they were cheating with.
Oh, then who cares?
Okay, I was about to ask, because you've been in that situation before. I've told you before. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm cheating with this person, and I have no intentions to stop. It's pretty fun.
No, I mean, that's also so, like, nebulous. But I just mean, like, if you were cheating on somebody, if a friend came to me and said, I cheated on my partner, I'd be like, oh, that's bad. But if they made a mistake, like, I'm not going to rat on them, right? They confided in me because they want, like, somebody to talk through their problems with. If they said, I'm going to keep cheating on them, I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to rat on you, but I'm going to have to rethink whether you're, like, a nice person who treats people well. Like, that sounds really fucking shitty.
I remember I was talking to my friend Bill when he was going through his situation, and then we got through all of that, and he was like, also, there's going to be a list that comes out in the future, and I just want you to be prepared for the fact that I'm going to be on that list.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This is Bill Clinton again. He's on the Epstein list.
Okay.
I was friends with all of them in some capacity. Are there any other, like, famous cheating scandals that really enrapture your imagination? Or are
the
you
try
like
guys?
Me where it's just like... Oh, yeah, that was a big one.
John Mulaney.
Second try guy has hit the Twin Towers. John Mulaney, yeah. There was a real battlefield around that one.
So, okay, don't tattle, but how do you get them to stop cheating? Because you do have to get this off your conscience.
How would you feel if you found out that she had been emotionally cheating for a year?
Emotional cheating is always such an interesting idea. It's because it seems like a very fine line between just having a good friend.
Well, no, because the way you define it could be pretty specific, but like in very different ways. Like there are some people who consider watching porn cheating, and it's like, you know, well, that's, you defined that for your relationship and they broke it. So I understand the breaking of that contract and trust, but I find it a little bit difficult to care about this one on my end.
Just orchestrate situations where they're likely to get caught.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You should send in a blind item to Dewey Moi. Who's that person who does the celebrity gossip?
Maybe this is that. Maybe the husband's big reader of Kwame. Wait, but they did keep it vague enough. Next time you're at one of their dinner parties, just go, cheater says what? And when they say what, go exactly and walk out.
Exactly. That's one of my favorite like niche genres of Twitter memes, is like someone pointing out the fact that like the economy is so bad that men can't have secret second families anymore. Like the things we've lost because of how bad the economy is now.
That is true. But you're going to buy a gold necklace for your mistress?
For you, Guma?
What the fuck is that? Where are you getting that gold necklace, buddy?
Raising a single family on a single income? Raising two on a single income? That doesn't happen anymore. All right, you want to hear the answer?
Yeah. Most of us know far less about what goes on inside other people's marriages than we think. How often the partners fight or forgive, what private understandings hold them together. Without that knowledge, any attempt to intervene is a shot in the dark. Even the modest goal of not making things worse assumes you can tell what worse would be. That's why it's often better in these circumstances to shift from thinking about outcomes to thinking about obligations. The question isn't what will make things better, but what do I owe and to whom? Here, your primary bond is with your best friend. You don't seem to know her lover's wife well, but your other close friend is loyal to her. The keeping of confidences is an expectation that forms part of that moral contract. Telling others, especially someone likely to tell the wife, would be a serious betrayal, and you would become the source of the revelation that could hurt several people at once. You can think that the wife has a right to know what's going on without thinking that you have a duty to tell her. That duty lies with her husband, the person who broke his vows. Coldplay concerts aside, we generally don't go around exposing whatever instances of infidelity we come across.
Solid
what
reference.
What you do owe is candor with your best friend. Encourage her to end the affair or to confront its consequences openly. If you decide in the end that you can't keep her confidence, let her know before you act. If you decide that silence is the lesser harm, then keep the secret fully. Confiding in your other friend wouldn't ease your burden. It would just spread the damage. Marriage is a serious moral institution, and sometimes, as here, they make conflicting claims on us. If you choose to speak, first tell your best friend why. Whether you choose silence or disclosure, let the decision be a considered one, rather than an act of avoidance under the guise of loyalty.
All right.
I will say the first paragraph was a little odd to me. Why did he go on about how other people's marriages, what goes on inside of them is different than what... Yeah, but this is your best friend. Presumably you do have actually a good bit of insight into some of these dynamics.
Yeah, you would assume.
This isn't like, when I saw somebody on Tinder who I knew was in a relationship, it's like, hey, who knows? Maybe they're in an open relationship. Maybe they have an understanding. This is like, no, you actually do have a little bit of insight. It's your best friend. You do kind of know what the expectation is.
I mean, I don't know. The rest of it was, what was the thing about separating consequences from obligations?
Oh, yeah. It was what are those schools of ethical thought? There's a...
consequentialism?
Consequentialism versus, I don't know what the second one would be, but it seemed like he was actually pointing to some sort of philosophical split.
Mm.
So there you go. He's actually using his expertise as an ethicist.
What do I owe and to whom? Interesting. Actually, yeah. So you were basically, you called it correctly. His response was, think about who you care about the most and do what's convenient for you to do to keep that relationship easy. That is crazy.
To be fair, it does mirror buy advice because in this case,
So, hey, broken clock.
I wouldn't call it, well, maybe I'm being unethical, but I don't know. There's also something to be said about not being a tattletale, not being a little gossip. Yeah,
that's true. All right.
I want to see the column where Kwame gives somebody tough love, where Kwame tells somebody to take the harder Road says that like ethics dictates that you do something you don't want to do or take a worse outcome for yourself. I just haven't seen that from Kwame.
You shouldn't dodge the draft. You should go fight for your country.
Well, I mean, no, you should definitely dodge the draft.
No, sometimes the harder thing's the better thing to do. All right. Paul, you want to go first on the third seggy?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
For the third segment, we're going to do the best place on the internet to tattle on others, r/am I the asshole.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. Where is mine? All right. So I wanted to keep mine a little bit in theme, so I am doing this one right here. From 6 months ago, am I the asshole for paying my son to tattle on his sister? And there is a verdict at the top, but I'm not going to let Paul know what it is yet. I, 43F, am married to my husband, 44M, and we have two great kids, 15M and 10F. Our daughter has been waiting to watch more mature things for a while, and she really has been wanting to watch Stranger Things, but we feel she's too young for that show. Recently, she eavesdropped on me and my husband and heard me say the passcode to my Netflix account out loud. She then logged into my Netflix account and attempted to watch Stranger Things. She tried to do this very late at night while she thought we'd be asleep, but I was on my way to the bathroom and passed by her room and heard that she was watching Stranger Things. So I went in and made her turn it off to give me the remote. I also told her that we would have to change the passcode now, which I now know was a mistake. Every time I talk to my husband about changing the passcode, I worried she could easily find it out again and be able to use my account. And my husband and I both work, so we can't be home to stop her all the time. So I asked our son, 15M, who sometimes watches her when we're not home, to make sure she didn't watch anything she wasn't allowed to watch and to tell us if she got access to my account. He agreed, but insisted I pay him $20 every time he tattled on his sister, and I reluctantly agreed. This went on for a few days. She would find out the new passcode for my account, and he would find out about it and tell us when we had to change it again. Our son managed to get his sister to tell him about her eavesdropping on us, and that was how she figured out the passcode for my account. Why is she saying it every night? We finally wrote the new passcode down and didn't say the words out loud to make sure she wouldn't be able to hear it, and we made it very random and wordy so she couldn't guess it either. Luckily, this worked out, and she can no longer access my account and can't watch anything inappropriate. But last night, my son came in to collect the last $20 I owed him, and my husband asked what that was about. I told him about the deal I made with our son, and this made him very upset. He said it was wrong to bribe our son to help us parent our daughter, and it could damage their relationship if she ever found out. I told him we just needed some help, and he was happy to help us out here. But my husband insisted it was inappropriate to pay our son to rat out his sister, and it crossed a line. Am I the asshole?
Okay, what was the situation? What was she watching?
Stranger Things.
And why was that not okay?
She's 10 years old.
Okay, but it seems like she's already watched enough of it. Like, maybe the damage has been done. She could finish the show.
What? It gets way worse as they get more mature. You grow with the show. I mean, the thing I'm most angry about is how incompetent this parent is that she just loudly said the password multiple times before thinking, maybe we should just write it down.
Also, can't you, like, lock the accounts with pins?
Oh, I don't know. You mean, like, have, like, a children's account and have, like, a...
Yeah, you can have a children's account and then you can lock the other ones with pin codes.
They're only 40, but based on her inability to understand that you can't just... that you should have an alternative to shouting out your password every night, it makes me think that she's not very technologically literate.
This seems like one of those weird family dynamics where I can't quite see what the issues are.
I didn't have any parental controls on what I could watch.
Yeah, and especially something like Stranger Things, which kind of
seems
like a children's show.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like it's for babies. I can't imagine that. Like,
it does. I think the only thing I can think of is, like, we know she gets scared and there's scary things in that show, but I don't think inappropriate things happen in that show. I don't know what's going on. Is there full penetration?
Oh, yeah.
Does Finn Wolfhard face fuck the Demogorgon?
You know more about that show than I expected.
Wolfhard, all right. Come on now.
Demogorgon. How do you even know that word? What the fuck is that?
Maybe it's the main villain from the first season. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the premise of the question is, was it wrong to pay my son as a mercenary to rat out his sister?
I don't know if it makes you an asshole, but I would recommend against it. It would be my take. Seems like a bad idea. First off, 20 tattle, that's insanity. That's
That is crazy.
Such a high price.
I mean, honestly, that might have been part of the password problem, is that he was probably giving her the password.
Oh, yeah, because he could make so much money off tattling. Also, how would you know if he was telling the truth? That's enough money that you've incentivized him to lie.
The incentive structure is crazy here. Presumably, she got discipline. No, because they were just changing the password. They don't actually mention any kind of discipline.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think they're an asshole, but I think, like you said, they're a dumb weirdo, and they need to find a better way to navigate their life.
Do you want to read a few top comments, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Top comment is, oh, by the way, the verdict is that they are an asshole.
Oh, man.
Top comment, you are the asshole, parent and child yourself. Parent your child yourself. Don't instill adversarial tendencies in your kids for no reasons. They should be able to trust each other. Second top comment, how on earth is she repeatedly able to find the password? Do you and your husband not know how to text? Anyway, you're paying your son to pit your children against each other, and this could also lead to major trust issues. You're the asshole. Learn how to keep a password secure. Stop using your son as the secret police. It's not hard. Yeah, I think that
I like that they called her son Gestapo.
Yeah. If your son was smart, he would have kept this going and told his sister what was going on and give her $5 out of the 20 each time. Pretty good advice. All right, Paul, what are you bringing in?
Okay, am I the asshole for donating winter coats to two cold little girls? Let's see how this goes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm new to Reddit, but this situation is confusing to me. It's gotten very cold recently where I live. I'm 46F. My son, 13M, has two friends, twin girls who are 13F, who moved here in September from California. They hang out at our house a lot, one more than the other. Yesterday, my oldest daughter, 20, is home for winter break. She came into the kitchen where I was and told me she doesn't think the twins own good winter clothes. When I looked, one was in a hoodie and the other was wearing a jean jacket. My daughter asked me if we had any of her old clothes in the attic that we were maybe saving for my youngest, so we went up to look. I found a lot of nice clothes from when my oldest was younger. Some good quality coats, long-sleeved shirts, even a solid pair of snow boots. I decided that the twins needed those clothes a lot more than my youngest, who hasn't grown into them. I can always buy her new things, but these girls are poor. My son says they share one wardrobe already. My daughter took the clothes to the twins and told them they were theirs or we were going to throw them out. They're pretty stubborn girls, but they accepted the donation and seemed subtly overjoyed about it. I expected that to be the end of it. Instead, this morning, I heard knocking on my door. When I opened it, it was the twins' stepdad. He had a box of clothes we sent home with them. He told me we don't take donations in this house and to keep my nose out of his business.
In this house?
He acted like I'd ruined his day and really put him out. I asked him if the twins had their own winter coats already that they just weren't wearing, and he said that they're tough, as if that means they don't get cold. My husband says I should have expected that reaction. I tried to call their mother, but couldn't get a hold of her. Am I the asshole?
And is there a verdict on this one?
What do you think?
This is the thing I was telling you about, and I don't know if I made it clear, but this should make it clear. There are meta subreddits of people who are clearly right or clearly wrong, who are being annoying or obtuse about the fact that they're clearly right or clearly wrong, called Am I the Angel or Am I the Devil, I think. Obviously, the stepdad's being weird. Even the fact that did he say he was a stepdad?
I agree that he, first off, is definitely being way ruder than you were and is in the wrong. But I do think you should, when giving a child a present, give it to the parents. It is weird to directly give a child something like that. You should ask the parent, like, are you willing to accept this? That's just like that's like a very small thing. I would call that like a formality you should learn as an adult.
I don't think I would have known that, yeah. So then when did he become the asshole then?
I meant the guy who came to yell at the question asker was asshole.
Yeah.
He was clearly the person who overreacted and was being a jerk here, but obviously that can be construed as insulting to like make it seem like you're giving it as charity to his children.
I mean, yeah, sure. I just don't think it makes you in the wrong though.
I agree. It doesn't make you in the wrong. Big fact, no cap, get out of here.
Yeah, big fact, no cap, about tattling.
When you think about it, Santa is the biggest tattle of all. Naughty or nice list? Get the fuck out of here. Merry Christmas.
I did forget that this is coming out the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. We should make it a little festive. Tattles. No cap, biggest tattletale, Elf on a Shelf. You've heard of Elf on a Shelf. How about Snitch? Snitch being a... Oh, you know, just check TikTok, whatever you're doing. That's more for it. Just go ahead and do that. Yeah, you know, whatever. Never mind. I don't care. You know what? Elf on the Shelf, you're cool with me. I got ops. I got ops in my own corner, so I don't need you.